And again, it's just taking time to focus on a lot of these areas that we tend to take for granted, that allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us, put his finger on areas of our lives. And you know, this is important because there are consequences to what we do. And in this area, if we don't do it right, if we think we know a better way to that which has been taught in the scriptures, then we finish up weak, sickly, dying before our time. That's tragic. God wants exactly the opposite for us. You know, so there are keys to these things. And that's very interesting what you say in Luke chapter 6, Peter. You didn't read the end of that verse, which I think confirms exactly what you're saying. You know, where it says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, I'll find it in a minute, will be put into your bosom. And the last sentence of that verse says, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You reap what you sow. It's a principle. You see, and you can't violate principles. Okay? So, yes, and it's good to hear these illustrations. It just now you understand why Kerry doesn't feel called to pastoring. After hearing the confessions of a West Coast pastor. Actually, I was thinking, Richard, you couldn't find a vacancy for him amongst the Presbyterians, could you? Peter, that is. That would fascinate you. Yeah. That's important, isn't it? You see, what we're discovering, if you take time to focus on these areas, God starts to open them up to us. If you start to focus on the spiritual gifts, they open up to us. You focus on this area of love, it starts to open up to us. We see it as a far bigger challenge than often we give lip service to. We've got to get beyond the stage of just being able to freely quote, oh, you need to love one another, you need to trust God, have faith. There's a whole lot more to it than just that. And it's very important that we grasp the truth, the revelation of what this new covenant is all about, because behind all of this is the true authority of God in our lives. We cannot function in true authority if we're not even getting the basics right. Can we? You see? And so, really, this is about, hey, Christians, we got to be real. We got to be real with one another. Far too many, you know. We build facades. We stick up the walls to protect ourselves because we get sick of the hurt. We get sick of the criticisms and things like that. But the reality is that as moment you stick your head up above the status quo and start to accomplish something for God, you will be noticed and people will talk about you. It becomes a fact of life. And, you know, as Peter's been saying, everybody else knows the will of God for your life and what you should be doing, but if you don't know it for your life, you won't do anything. And so with the closer you and I get to the will of God for our lives and we commit to that, the more other Christians will misunderstand you. That's why these things are so vital. No, because we are going, it's impossible, Jesus said, but that offences will come. We can offend one another without even trying. It's true. Sometimes people get horribly upset with us and we're not even aware of it. And it's destroying their life. I remember one time, this is in my love book, one guy I hadn't seen for 27 years and I was in a certain town and I heard he was there. And I thought, oh, well, and I got a phone call from him that he wanted to see me. So I went to his home. And he had held stuff against me for 27 years that I was totally unaware of. It had destroyed his life. And I didn't know anything about it. But he knew after all of that time he needed to ask my forgiveness, which he did. Fancy allowing 27 years of our lives to be wrecked because we've held something against somebody else and they haven't even made you aware of the fact. That's sad, isn't it? It's real sad. But we can be like that because, you know, there's a pride side of us that stops us from going and helping, getting the situation sorted out. This is what I have discovered. It's very easy to forgive others when there has been no offence. You know, you can talk about it, you know all the answers, you know what to do. But when there's been an offence, it's an entirely different matter. He's got to come and see me. They've got to apologize to me. And we get all of these things stewed up inside of us. And we don't realize that even if we're right, we're still wrong. Because we're harboring the stuff in our heart. We say it, you know, we've got to keep short accounts with God. We've got to learn to keep short accounts with people. But it's easier said than done. Especially when some people feel it's their gift of God in life to keep you down. And to, you know, they become your thorn in the flesh. But it's all about learning to rise above these things and let God be glorified. You know, we can't afford to allow any, especially other Christian, to rob us of the destiny and the call of God in our life. I have sat and talked with hundreds of people now over the years who have tried to succeed in Christian ministry and they've failed. And you know, it's always someone else's fault. That person had done this, I would never have been in this position. There's always a way out with God. Is there not? We just got to give it to God. Sure, it hurts. I hate it as much as anybody else. But we've got to be big enough to recognize we can't afford to allow other people to destroy us because of the reaction in our heart toward them. Okay? So be healed in Jesus' name. If we've come before the Lord this morning and we have genuinely said, Lord, forgive us. And I don't know, there may be one or two of you that might feel that you have to go to somebody. Whether it's here at this conference, when you go back to your church, you might need to talk to the telephone before you talk to them. But you can't afford to be eaten up on the inside because of somebody else. Love covers all. But that doesn't mean that it's just passive. We have to do something when the Holy Spirit says now. And I agree with Peter. This is where, again, we need the wisdom, the discernment of the Holy Spirit, because often where there has been a serious breach, there is then a timing factor, a right time to do things. Because if you try and resolve some issues, you might be ready, the other person's not. And you can finish up with a bigger mess. And hearts are hardened. The resolves are strengthened. I'm right, you're wrong. You know, and it's very hard to heal some of those things. Okay? Let love prevail. Right, well, our time's moving on. I just want to, before this afternoon, we're breaking into small groups, and so I want to, for the benefit of people that have perhaps not been at one of our conferences before and have not experienced receiving and giving prophetic words, I would like to do a little demonstration here to give you an idea of what you're going into, just to help you to relax, and so that you can go into the small groups this afternoon with a confidence that God wants to speak to you and he wants to speak through you. Okay? But just before we do that, Paul, would you like to come and just share that word that you have got? And then I'll carry on. So,
during our worship time last night, I got a series of thoughts in my head, and I said, well, Lord, I don't know whether this is from you or not. It might be just my bias, because I do have a big bias towards the gift of tongues, and I'd do anything to get everybody speaking in tongues. I thought, well, this might be just me. I'll just sit on it. And I sat on it through the night, and this morning it was still there. So I thought, well, I had trouble with the prophecy I gave yesterday afternoon, and it was only when it came into my mind that there's somebody waiting on the other end of my obedience that I decided to give it in obedience. And I want to give this word in obedience as well. And I don't want anybody to respond to it straight away. You can think about it and talk to somebody privately about it afterwards. But I felt that there's somebody here who'd been seeking the gift of tongues, and they'd been prayed for, and they never received it. And as a response, either the person or somebody else told them that because of that scripture that Paul said, do all speak in tongues, it just means you haven't got it. God's not giving it to you. But in your heart, you've still got a desire for it. But every time you've tried to reach out and use the gift of tongues, this has come back to you, that God's not giving this to you, that's not for you. And I believe God, the Holy Spirit, wants to break that thought within you, that bondage, and just set you free. So if there's people like that, or somebody, there might be more than one person like that, well then see one of the leadership team and they would help you.
What's that? No, I don't need that, do I? That's strange, eh? Mm. She knows I need help. Just getting back to that, I think that it would be better if you just go and approach Paul at lunchtime and allow him to just share with you, because, again, we feel that people that get the word need to have the responsibility of carrying it through, and that's just good for us to do that. Okay, Sarah, can I just borrow your chair there, Jean, and... you want to sit in the chair? You'll be a good illustration. Sure, that's good. Nice. Who would like to?
Me tonight.
Yeah, okay. So this, what's your name? She's a nice lady, isn't she? I just think I'll close the meeting at this point. Okay, this is for the benefit of people that perhaps haven't been involved in the type of ministry that we've learnt. some simple techniques. Actually, Gene originated this, whereby, you know, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have discovered that there are two things that function right through Scripture, and that is what you see and what you hear. It's a principle that runs right through the Scripture. It's the way of the Spirit. It's the way of revelation. Revelation comes to us through the eye gate, the ear gate. And from there, it comes to the heart. And we know it. And so, when it comes to ministering in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you function by what you see and what you hear. But often, we do not set a situation up where it is easy for people to see in order that they can hear. And so we just have this simple arrangement whereby we get somebody to sit in the chair like this to face you so that you can make eye contact. Jesus ministered like this. You know, all the time that Jesus ministered, he painted pictures and parables so people could see and hear what he was saying. The scriptures teach us that when he saw their needs, he was moved with compassion. So through the eye gate, something's activated in love in the heart and spirit of a person. And so all we're doing is bringing the situation together whereby you can see with the eye of the Spirit at the same time, Holy Spirit, what would you have me to say or to do that would really bless and encourage Jean at this stage in her life? So we're setting up, as we said yesterday, we set up an environment so things can happen easier for you. And so as I'm just talking here, you just be asking the Holy Spirit what he would have you to share with Jean, which in 1 Corinthians 14 comes within the framework of edification, exhortation, and comfort. To come up here and tell her she married the wrong man is out of order. So forget that thought. And so when we go into the small groups this afternoon, as you minister to the individuals in your group, one after the other, then everybody will be focused, when it's your turn to be ministered to, everybody will be focusing upon you and asking the Holy Spirit to give you words of edification, exhortation, and comfort, maybe healing and whatever. And so that the Holy Spirit can speak through those that are in your group to you words of truth. Now, if you are new to this, listen, let me tell you something. Don't underestimate the power of your accuracy. We are amazed at the accuracy of people doing this for the first time in their life. Now, many people we are discovering have never had prophetic words. When Kerry and Len and I were in Cheltenham last year, remember that pastor with 46 years in Pentecostal ministry had never had prophetic words in his life until we come along. Can you believe that? And the guy just cried. 46 years in Pentecostal ministry and had never had a prophetic word. I was in a city called Bridgend in Wales on another occasion, and I heard a 93-year-old retired Pentecostal pastor prophesy for the first time in his life. Can you believe that? Well, I can because I've experienced it. I remember on another church I went to, they were celebrating their 50th anniversary that year, and I got up and I shared a word of knowledge. A woman got up, walked to the pastor and said, "What was that? Is that the occult?" You see, because we've got away from the teachings of the Scripture and all these other things start to build and accumulate within our lives, we finish up knowing not what to believe at all. And that's sad, that's serious. Because if that's the way we live, we have no authority to step out and do things in the name of the Lord. So the gifts of the Spirit, and in the workshops this afternoon, it'll be mainly discerning of spirits, it'll be word of knowledge, it can be prophecy, there will be words of wisdom, there may be gifts of faith, and there may be gifts of healing, who knows, maybe even a miracle or two. But the focus is on building one another up in the love of the Lord so that they can be encouraged, so that they will have information, insight, revelation, confirmation. These words can be to do with things past, present, or future. Prophetic words can be revelation, they can be confirmation. And sometimes you might know whether it's even the Spirit or somebody, but even there, that is good for us to have to test our discernment. How do you know you're discerning right if you're only in an environment where the same thing's happening all the time? So sometimes these things are allowed to happen because God's trying to sharpen our discernment to discern right from wrong. Okay? So don't just swallow everything you hear, test it, but don't despise prophesyings. Scriptures teach us that. So what we do, when we're out, I'm out at the conferences and that, we've got them taped and recorded, but we have an array of portable tape recorders. If you're involved in prophetic ministry and you're doing this kind of thing, these little inventions are your accountability. We do not encourage people to go around giving private prophetic words on people where it is not written down or recorded, so that there is a way of accountability. Because believe you me, if you get into this kind of thing, sooner or later you're going to have somebody come back to you and say, so-and-so prophesied over my life and they said this, this, and this, and it's not right, and it's upset me, and all of that kind of stuff. And so, you say, if it's been recorded, let us sit down and listen to the tape. Learn to hear what was originally said, because so many people in the prophetic are just relying on your emotions. And so many people, when prophetic words are given, only want to hear the parts that they're looking to hear. And they don't hear the rest of it. What we're discovering with prophetic tapes, and we now have a growing list of wonderful testimonies, is that when we capture these things on the tape, these tapes become like a revelation in themselves to the people that are receiving them. That particular ministers' meeting that I mentioned in Cheltenham, where Kerry and I were last year, that meeting was arranged at short notice because another pastor had been ministered to in recent times by the team here. We'd sent a tape to him over there in England, and every time he listened to the tape, it was like the Holy Spirit showed him something new. And he's just played that tape over and over and over again. And every time he plays it over, the Holy Spirit shows him something new through the tape. Why? Because revelation has been captured. The things of the Spirit have been captured. I mean, that's what this is. This is the things of the Spirit have been captured. The Rhema has been translated into Logos. And so we now have an understanding of the heart and the purposes of God, because it originated, holy men and women of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But someone took the time to capture what the Spirit was saying and put it into print. That's what the books are about. The things the Spirit is saying, you capture them, and so other people get the benefits. And so we have the tapes. So when we make up a tape, we always make sure that we put the place where it was recorded, we put the date, and who it's for. So just giving you a little bit of a demonstration here. We just say this. This tape has been made on Saturday, the 21st of April, 2007, at the Gospel Faith Messenger Conference in Hamilton, and the tape has been made for Jean. Okay? So now, this tape, because usually our experience is, this tape is going to mean more and more as the years go by than even today. Jean will not be able to take in everything that is said. Now, we're watching the clock, so we're not going to have time for everybody to give a word to Jean. But we are just giving you a demonstration so that in the groups this afternoon, you will know what's going on, what's happening. At the end, Jean gets the tape to take home, and we encourage people to listen to the tape in the privacy of your home, because you will hear things on the tape you don't hear today. Okay? Now, some of the things on the tape may not make a whole lot of sense to you now. Usually about 70, 80% of a prophetic tape people can grasp, yes, that's confirmation, I know God's talking to me like that, but often you can have 20% or so of a prophetic tape that may not make any sense whatsoever to you at this moment, but 12 months, 2 years down the track, you'll be able to say, ah, now I know what that's about. You hear what I'm saying? Because prophecies are for past, present, future. And so, by having it recorded, one, we are able to trace right back to what was said, not what people think was said. Now, in my experiences of trying to sort out differences of prophetic words where it's never been recorded or taped, this is what happens almost without exception. The person receiving the prophecy says that the person prophesying said thus and so. The person who gave the prophecy said, I never said that. Now, where do you go from there? One saying one thing, one saying another. But if you've got it recorded, you can get it right from the horse's mouth. Now, you would be amazed at how much opposition we get to recording prophecies. Many times they don't even come out. It's amazing. We've had people go to churches where they have brand new sound equipment. Everything's working perfectly, but it doesn't record the prophecies. The enemy is out to stop the voice of God coming to us. What are spiritual gifts? They are different aspects, variations of the voice of God coming to you through the body. And so we need to be open to receive prophetic words. Our lives today, for numbers of years, our lives have been lived and walked in the fulfillment of many prophetic words that have gone forth in our lives. I mentioned yesterday about, I was at this pastor's conference. Can those phones be kept off, please? Or if you have to have them sit close to an exit, that'd be good. Thank you. Going to sit by yourself over there, and God said, I'll speak to you. Now, I had no idea how God was going to speak to me, but he chose prophecy through Peter Morrow. And he spoke prophetically into my life, and we're living in the fulfillment of that today. And it's still happening. You see, now that may have been maybe 10 years ago. But you see, we have it. And so we're able to build with it, to walk with it. And that pastor in England has been so challenged by the prophetic tapes that he called a whole lot of pastors together for us to minister to, and out of that we ministered to a man that's been in Pentecostal ministry for 46 years, who's never had prophetic words in his life before. And he sat there and cried. It's powerful ministry, folks. We don't despise it. It's not the only way God speaks, but it's an important way. And we need to be open to it and need to be a channel, a blessing, a vessel, so that God can speak through us and speak to other people, letting the body function. Okay, so when you come to give a word for Gene now, we want you to just come out of your seat. There's a reason we do that, because it's helping you to activate your faith. It gets you functioning. You commit by standing and walking out the front. You speak your name onto the tape and then just give your word. Okay, now we don't want a 30-minute sermon. Just be quick and brief, say your word, and back you go. Okay? So who wants to be first? Just queue up there, and we'll have to call it a stop when time's up.
Hi, Jean, this is Kay, and I got Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Bless you.
Yes. Hello, Jen, it's Peter here. And the Lord just said to me that you are truly a mother of Israel. And you, over the years, he's trained you up and he's given you that mother heart. But I also had a picture of you. In the past, you've always been a person in the background, but I just sense God's bringing you into the foreground. And I see you actually standing up and sharing more with people. And there are people all around you, and you're like you're mentoring them. And you're pouring out all this wisdom that you've learned into their hearts. And I just see that God's going to raise you up more so in a sort of in the front lines a bit more, where you're going to pour out your that wisdom that God has taught you over the years. And you're going to speak forth and you're going to mentor people. And I just see all these people around you and you coming alongside them and giving them wisdom and godly advice on some of the things that they're facing.
Jean, it must be 20 years since I first met you and Rodney. And somebody took me down to Palmerston when you and Rodney were ministering. You ministered in the morning, and I thought, wow, what a woman. And then Rodney ministered in the afternoon, and I thought, well, she's definitely better than him. He's wonderful. Now, God is going to bring that again. You have always been in the background, hiding in the background, ministering to people and doing a wonderful job. But you're not going to be there now. So, lady, you're going to be flushed out. You're going to be in the front. There are thousands of people, and I'm not embarrassed about saying thousands, that are waiting for the word that you've had locked up in your heart as you've been gleaning and listening to the Lord and the Holy Spirit for the biggest part of your life. And now God wants you now, Jean, to put down your apron, and he wants you to stand before a microphone, because there's so many hurting people. You've had so much experience, and now the time has come to give it out. Now he's giving me these scriptures. I love you so much. And it's from Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And in Ruth 3 and verse 11, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for the people of this city know that you are a woman of excellence. And you don't need to blush. That is what you are, and that is how our Father sees you. So go in the name of the Lord. Do not look to the right or the left, and he will show you. You open your mouth, and he will fill it. God bless you. Thank you.
Jean Eagles.
Hello, Jean. I'm Barbara. I just got simple, and that you have an open heart, and that you are receiving, and that out of your mouth and time, God is going to bring godly wisdom and knowledge, and he's going to use you.
Hi, Jean, Lois. Yep, a mother in Israel indeed. We were discussing things before, and it comes to me that he wants you to be more alert and aware of how his spirit is going to teach and train you for this next season of your life. So in the past, the Holy Spirit has alerted you in your heart, and you've looked around and seen people. And I've been on the receiving end of this, and you've gone over to them and just gently and quietly, privately shared with them what he's shown you. This has been a great training thing, and I've been on the benefit end of that. Don't you ever, ever doubt the significance of when you do that. But now you're at a season where we talked a bit about present, where it's the aloneness. And it came to me while I was sitting there that there is a significance and a deliberateness about God doing this in your life, because what happens is that he makes you start to get stirred up to question, where is it at now, Lord? What should I be going on to? I feel that I'm alone and not quite fitting in, and I'm not quite moving ahead where I feel there is something yet to come, and this is of God. So don't feel distressed about it. This has been his purpose and will, so that you will start to seek him more. And for the future, I see that the Holy Spirit will touch your eyes more, so that when you look around, as you have in the past, you will see more, and he will extend that whole area of the visionary within you, so that when you look, he will show you in your heart what to say. So be prepared and expect that he's going to speak a great deal more to you, moving in word of knowledge to comfort those who need healing inwardly. You have a great love in your heart. Bless you.
Jean, it's Harvey speaking. I saw the Holy Spirit carrying a portfolio, and it was full of papers. There were bills and various kinds of papers in this portfolio, and the understanding I got was that it was domestic. The Holy Spirit's going to carry your domestic affairs, so don't be concerned for what's ahead, because the Holy Spirit will carry the burden of what's to come. So be at peace.
Well, we'll make this the lot, okay? So the rest of you will have to see Jean with the tape later.
Jean, it's Claire. When you sat down, I looked at you and I just got two very simple but very precious words. And just written as I looked at you was God's gold.
Hi Jean, it's Karen. I don't know if I can get this out. I just wanted to honour you for all you've done. And I just see that God is so delighted with you. And the words I got were from Gideon when the angel appeared to him and he said, God is with you, a mighty woman of valour. And I think you've been through so many battles, but God is with you, and where you're going on the journey, where you're going.
Wonderful, Jean. This is Bernadette. Yesterday afternoon, the Lord popped into my mind a number of times. It was the number 100. And I didn't quite understand what it meant. And as I was driving home last night, God said to me, Jean is a 100-fold woman. She has heard my voice. She has received the seed that I sowed, that was sowed in her life as a young girl. And she has received the seed in very, very good ground. And she has heard and she has understood. And because she has understood and she has not held back anything of herself, that seed has produced 100-fold. And her heart is so humble that she doesn't realize it. But it has produced 100-fold, and 100-fold has produced sometimes 30, sometimes 60, and sometimes 100-fold. So, my dear sister, you are 100 times woman. You're a wonderful woman of God. God bless you. And all of us have been the receivers of some of what God has sown in your life. Thank you so much.
Kia ora, Ma. This is Tere here. I think you've heard this story, but it just flashed back at me. And I remember, and what I see of the pit is this big heart on the wall. And this big heart of God, of love, the mother heart, that you've got, which you've shown at every conference that I've been to. You're more worried about making sure everything is done right for you. But God is saying to you, the desires of your heart are coming soon. And you know what those desires are. Many people have spoken about them, but it's the desires in that heart of yours that he wants to do. And because of your mother love for everyone, and especially for Rodney, you know, especially for Rodney, that you're the backbone. You're the backbone for everything that he has done. And I know he appreciates all that because of the love that he shows towards you and how you, as he said, you've initiated this part, saying you're at the receiving end of what you've started.
This is much easier. I'm sort of level then. I have the feeling that the Lord is saying that your all that you do is very equal in the body of Christ. Not one is higher, not one is lower, but it's very equal. And what you haven't seen is what you have done in the background and how that has been multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And I have a thought that what you have seen little glimpses of, you're going to be taken higher in Christ and used in new ways by the Lord. And how that will happen, I have no idea, but he will do it. Thank you. Bless you.
Kia ora, Jean. It's Jean here. I just want to honour you. When Karen started speaking, I thought, whoa, where's this coming from? I just could feel the tears welling up. And I just want to honour you for just being there for me from the beginning. You know, like you just really accepted me. And every time I came, you always gave me a hug. And I just want to say thank you for that. But what I came up for also was, I feel like the Lord's given me two things for you. And the first one is, if somebody showed you two different colours, one's blue and the other one's orange, and this person points to the orange and says, this is blue. And you go, no, that's not blue. That one there's blue, that's orange. And out of that, I really felt like the Lord was showing me that there is an assertiveness that's rising up in you, that he's going to do in you. And it's like, you're not going to be confused. You're going to be going, now hang on a minute. This is what it is and this is what it looks like. And I just see God using you more in an assertive way in regards to his word in terms of what's truth, what's factual and what's not. And so I just want to encourage you in that. And the other one was, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want to just sing this little chorus or whatever over you. Thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Louise here. I saw a picture of children and I just waited on the Lord and I just felt he was saying many spiritual children are coming into your life and there's a new thing going to happen and happening and God's going to launch you out. I just sense that, and as you get launched out, the word that's in your heart, just speak it out, and many, many more people are going to come into the kingdom. Lots of spiritual children, and you're going to be a mother to them and love them and encourage them and send them out. Bless you.
Paulus. And I've got a scripture, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 onwards. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God and Christ, an absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your father, Clarence, and your mother, Edith, and now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also. This is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame and keep it burning, the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of laying on of hands with those of the elders at your ordination. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love, of calm and a well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me a prisoner for his sake, but with me, take your share of the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you, and do it in the power of God.
My name's Faye. I have, I was just going to say it. When you sat down, the word mother came to me. And with the scripture, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant was with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. But the word I got was a mother of many nations.
Just the Lord has given you a name, Jean, and that's the letters in your name for joy, encouragement, adoration, never failing love. And I just, as I was sitting there, I just had a prophetic sort of, you know, the Lord showed me that the times that you've been through have been rough times. It's like being on an avalanche. And there's been times where there's been discouragement. There's been times we've tried to walk away from it. You've wanted to walk away from it. But the Lord has seen your faithfulness, the love that you've shared with people, that you've given out so many times. And there's been times when people have spoken things that have not been of the Lord. And they've pulled you down. And I brought you into the low places, but the Lord wants you to know that he sees your faith. He sees your unrelentless love for people, that you've been so faithful in areas where other people haven't, your commitment, and he knows your heart. He sees your heart. I've got a scripture here. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. And the Lord saw you in times when you stepped out in faith, when you and Rodney stepped out in faith into a land that was not sown yet, sown with the Holy Spirit. And he's seen your faithfulness. He's seen the hard times that you've been through, and he knows where your heart is. He sees, he's put you up in a high place now and caused you to bloom and bear fruit, much fruit, lots of fruit. Then, Jeremiah 2, verse 2.
Just one more. Jean, I had a picture of you. This is Kerry. I had a picture of you in a vegetable garden, and it was a new garden, and I can see the sense of that. But there seemed to be in this time as you were in this garden that God is going to speak to you quite deeply than you've ever been spoken to. And I see almost like you lifting your eyes to the hills, and the power of God falls upon you at this stage like you've never experienced before. Bit like him with the cows, really, isn't it? But I just see that there, as you spend this time in this vegetable garden, that you will be developing for yourself, for your life, that God is going to speak to you in such a depth outside what you have experienced before.
Hi, Jean. Richard here. Rodney was... He got you up there, and then he said said that, you know, we were to look at you and use the eyes to see there. And I looked at your top there with all the flowers. And I thought bees would like that, and I think you'd be quite attractive to bees in a top like that. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking that that you're attractive to people, and that God is drawing people to you that you can minister to. People to you that need the love that God has put into you, that need the giftings and the years of experience and the wisdom that you've got. And I think there are Christian leaders, maybe people who are going to be Christian leaders in this land, their wives need your wisdom. Their wives need what you have got in order for them to be able to stand up and do the work that God has called them to. Don't shy away from that, because you have a multiplying ministry. It might not always be the things that you're doing, but it's what you are putting into those people that is releasing them to do the work that God has. Don't belittle what God has given you, because it has a powerful snowballing effect for the future.
Hi, Jean. Peter here. How you going? I was just thinking, hey?
I'm ready for the vegetable garden.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about that. You know, the whole thing that Kerry was talking about. I think, Jean, the next season of your life is going to be incredibly fruitful. And it's going to come, it's like what Kerry said about this, a revelation is going to come to you where God is going to speak to you very, very deeply in your spirit. And it's going to produce incredible fruit that, I mean, all the hopes and dreams, I think, that you've had sitting in your life that not a lot of people know about, it's going to come up and it's going to come out and it's going to produce an amazing amount of fruit. And you are going to reach the end of your days incredibly fulfilled. That's good, eh?
The last one.
Jean, I had a mother, but she died when I was six. And so my father brought us up, and I've never really had mother figures in my life. So I want to ask your forgiveness if I haven't related to you in the way that you've wanted me to. I want to ask forgiveness for being standoffish and aloof, you know, because I haven't been able to relate to you the way that I think that you relate to others, and I just want to ask for your forgiveness and Rodney's forgiveness, and because that communion, you know, to make things right, And I just want to say that I honour you. And I wish you the best.
Jean, this is Kathy. You know that God loves you, but you're also greatly loved by many, many people, many sons and daughters through different nations. But that's not what I want to say to you. Jean, I saw you standing at a race, and the sheep were coming through the race, and you had the gate, and you were directing them where they should go. Don't think you're going to retire just yet. I believe God is taking you into a place of deeper administrative giftings that will allow people to come into where they should be with God. There is a discerning in that where you will just know which way these people should go. I've already seen a little bit of that in you as I've worked with you, but there is a greater measure of that administrative gifting in your life to come forth. And I believe there is a new season coming for you, and that season is to exercise that administrative gifting beside Rodney. And that discernment comes as you look at each sheep, you know instinctively where to put them, how to work with them, and how to bring the best out of them. Jean, we love you, we appreciate you, and we just want to see the very best for your life too.
Finally, this is your sister-in-law, Joan. Just one short sentence I have to say, Jean. The Lord said to share with you, you may not have a church as such. You may not be in a denomination where you are as such a pastor's wife, but the Lord wants you to know he has never stripped you of the title of pastor.
Amen. Yes.
Summarise, dear Jean, I believe he would say to you, beloved, many times past you have come to me and you've said in your heart, Lord, I see in my husband's ministry and in the ministry of the team these prophetic people, these prophetic types being raised up by the power of the Spirit of God. Where am I, Lord, in your plan for this? Father, I don't have the giftings that these other people seem to have, but he would say this to you. What you have is a priceless treasure. What you have is a gift of prophecy, and you have a gift of discernment that you see the hearts of other people. And although the words you feel that you give to them are small and just an arm around and a couple of words of encouragement, he would say to you that this is the gift of prophecy. This is the gift of discernment and a great gift of encouragement. Do not doubt that he has placed these things in your heart. They are the treasures he has given you to give to others. Never doubt it. And believe this. He will extend and increase what he has placed within you, not only for the benefit of the other people, but for your benefit, that you might see and know that he has placed within you a ministry just as significant, just as precious, and blessed with the greatest love as that of your husband, because you've been called together. You have been called together, and what he has given you is a great and deep expression of the love of Christ to other people.
Don't run away just before you run away. How many people that never came out but know Jean well enough to say that you can accept what's on here is true? See, this is it's about accountability. You're witnessing, and that's why, you know, it's important that these things are done in public so people can judge it, discern what's going on, and then also we encourage, in this case, Jean, to give a feedback on how she has received them at this point. You want to sing?
speechless.
I don't believe it.
I want to get in my new vegetable garden. No, oh, I don't know what to say, but that touches my heart. And thank you.
Thank you.